Brother Yike has served the conventions in years past and faithful and in all occasions, and we are happy to have him with us. Brother Yike's subject, God's mystery of the ages. Brother Yike.
Thank you, Brother Balkoff. Good morning, everyone. It is needless to say that Sister Yike and myself are very happy to have the privilege to attend this general convention. There is about half or more of the Orlando class here attending this convention, and we have great joy in bringing to you the Christian greetings and love of our brethren who have remained at home in Orlando. Our golden text is found in Colossians, the first chapter, verse 26 and 27. The mystery which has been hid from ages and generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. A very small fraction of the world population are so highly favored as to have a clear concept of God's mystery of the ages, and consequently become a party in God's covenant, a part of this great mystery. This minority group are the ones directly referred to in Psalms 25 and 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that reverence him, and he will show them his covenant. He has shown us his covenant, and what a wonderful covenant it is. The wonderful thing that we can be a part of it. The fact that throughout the entire world there exists a large variety of conflicting religious beliefs attests to the truth of the assertion that in reality the mystery of God is indeed a very great secret, a very great mystery. The full substance of it being contained in God's eternal design of the ages, a long-range plan so comprehensively arranged as to bring about an ultimate emancipation of all mankind from the slavery of sin and the resultant incarceration of death. Throughout the entire world, the vast majority of the people are in one way or in another, influenced by pagan and unscriptural philosophies, customs, and practices. The situation clearly sustains that the masses of mankind are without understanding concerning God's great mystery of the ages. We're informed by the record that Jesus spoke to the people mostly in parables and dark sayings. He did assure, however, that the Holy Spirit would instruct those having ears to hear and having a responsive attitude would enable them to acquire a true scriptural concept and on the strength of it, be energized in a conscientious appreciation of divine of having God's mystery revealed to them. And what a wonderful revelation it has been and still continues to be. prior to the present harvest, certain mysteries have been revealed. Yes. And during the first advent of Jesus, the revealment more particularly brought life and immortality to life. Down here at the close of the Gospel Age, a much clearer perspective comes into the picture. John the Revelator reminds us that the time is coming when God's great mystery of the ages will be finished. Complete. Finished in the sense, all that the mystery embodies has been completed, and thus no longer remaining a mystery, a secret. It is having been a mystery constituting the project of the call, the project of the call, the project of the development, and the grand finale of the glorification of the completed Christ. God's revealments during the present age are exclusively made for the benefit of a very small class of people. A class to whom God's Holy Spirit reveals certain facts and features of His grand design, His plan of the ages, His plan of salvation. A design not only respecting the church of the firstborns, but also a wonderful, beneficent design respecting the world of mankind. And how glad we are that such is the case. To a considerable degree, Jesus was instructed during the time of His first advent concerning the details of God's mystery of the ages. And such instruction by the Holy Spirit did not stop with Jesus, but all of His brethren since then have received instruction in the ethics of the high calling. And being instructed in the ethics of the mystery, we are enabled to properly evaluate its place in the divine plan. And it is in no sense of the word a passing fancy, not by any means. Understanding the mystery furnishes us with the capability of venerating and reverencing God in sincerity and in truth. As to the matter of reverence, there's a great difference. Oh, yes. There's a great difference in the reverencing of the Lord and the veneration of human leadership. Man-made systems, human ideologies, a reverence and veneration of the human element is carnal. Quite so. Such stands in the category of idolatry. Whether we like the thought or not, but it does stand in the category of idolatry. Here a worship of any kind, veneration and reverence of any kind, of man-made leadership, hinders growth in grace and truth. And the more we're involved in anything of that kind, the less we're going to grow in grace and truth. Idolatry of any description is reprehensible to our Heavenly Father. And all out reverence and all out veneration of our Heavenly Father and our Lord, glorified Savior and Master, enables one to understand and to appreciate the divine plan, the divine design for man's salvation as its various features become due to be understood. And in this regard, what an amazing revealment we have. A revealment far beyond the most prolific human imagination. So complete is the revealment that we're enabled to comprehend with all saints God's great mystery of the ages. The mystery relative to the high calling. A mystery concerning the church's part in the great atypical sin offering. Yes, a knowledge of God's mystery of the ages motivates the Lord's people to converse with one another concerning the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of His great salvation project and the part that you and I have in it. Yes, talk about His precepts. Consider concerning His promises. Yea, discussing these things with one another, knowing and appreciating that a book of remembrance is written for those who think, who speak, and act as an honor to His holy name. Again, I repeat, only a few favored people understand God's covenant and can be a part of this mystery. Namely, a little flock of consecrated people who alone have their eyes anointed with the balm of spiritual insight. And lo, they behold its glorious unfolding. The covenant opens up into three major parts. First, the covenant provides for an ultimate blessing of all mankind. Second, the glorified seed of Abraham is to be the channel through which all of the promised blessings will in due time be showered upon all flesh. Third, this seed is first the Lord Jesus. However, in the final picture, the thought of the seed includes the bride of Christ. And hence we are reminded in the first chapter of Colossians and the third chapter of Galatians that Jesus is the head of the body of the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Now to Abraham was promised spoken, even for his seed and to thy seed, who is Christ, the Christ head and body, the 144,001 individuals. Yes, He will show them His covenant. He will show us His covenant. He has shown us His covenant. How very imperative it is for us to correctly appraise the great value of the covenant. And what it embodies. And our involvement in it. To rightly do so, we must have a clear, logical concept of the meaning of the covenant. Not some hazy, mazy understanding of it. We must clearly comprehend clearly what it embraces. And along with this, fully recognize that the Abrahamic covenant is the master key to the entire plan of salvation. In the outworking of the covenant, the Church of Christ becomes the first fruits unto God. The thought of first fruits signifies that there is to be a later fruitage in the order of the agenda of the divine salvation project. The consecutive order being first, the complete resurrection of the church of the firstborns. Second, the resurrection of the great multitude. Third, the resurrection of the ancient worthies. And finally, fourth, the general resurrection of all other mankind. And all of this being in every iota, in full accord with all that our Master foretold. namely, that the time is coming when all that are in the grave will hear the voice of the Son of Man and come forth. It is to this end that Jesus became Lord of both the dead and the living. For he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in God's own due time. God's mystery of the ages was hidden in the Abrahamic covenant. Later, the law covenant came into the picture. Later, a covenant of sacrifice, which can be termed a covenant of the high calling in Christ. And still later, in due time, a new covenant will be in order. To the natural man, these covenants are quite obscure, because the mystery of the ages is hidden in types, in shadows, in word pictures, in allegories, in figures of speech, in symbols, and in numerous metaphorical statement expressions. These are the things of God, along with other things that are especially deep and grand. So to speak, the mystery of the age is hidden by a veil. And as we look beyond the veil, we are enabled to grasp the meaning of these things and thus apply ourselves to the Spirit and to the letter of the mind of Christ, and thus fulfilling our part in the working out of the mystery of the ages. And part of that working out, our part working out, is the working out our own salvation with concern, with reverential fear. That's our part. And thus fulfilling all that God has arranged for us to do. And doing this identifies us as belonging to the class to whom the secret of the Lord is with them who reverence him. Yea, those to whom his covenant is shown. I repeat again, only a few favored people understand God's covenant. A little flock whose eyes have been anointed with a balm, a spiritual perspective, spiritual insight. And lo, they behold its glorious unfolding. In its unfolding, the covenant opens up into three major parts. First, the covenant provides for an ultimate blessing of all mankind. Second, the glorified seed of Abraham is to be the channel through which all the promised blessings will be accomplished. And third, the seed being first the Lord Jesus. But in the final picture, however, the thought of the seed includes the bride of Christ. And hence, in Colossians 1:18 reminds us, Jesus is the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Paul points out conclusively the certainty of the covenant being ultimately fulfilled. He calls our attention to the fact that God has taken great care in assuring this. He reminds how God stated the matter repeatedly to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as well as in general, directly and indirectly, through his specially selected mouthpieces. In no way whatsoever can anything become involved as to alter or disannul the covenant, nor hinder it from achieving its objective. Paul distinctly states that God not only gave his word, but binds it by his oath. Reference to this is definitely to the point in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 to 17 and 19, as follows. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. For verily men swear by the greater, an oath of confirmation is the end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, and by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, he might have a strong consolation, who have fled from refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of our soul, being both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. End of quote. In the agenda of God's great mystery of the ages is outlined how vital it is for the consecrated believer to be fully clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness, and such constituting a wedding garment, also referred to in the scriptures as our justification. Certain mandatory rules of action are applied in working out the certain rules which the Lord has placed before us, certain principles, Christian prestige of those who are part of God's great mystery of the ages, all of which must be properly coordinated in an unrestricted engagement of faith and practice in offsetting our deficiencies by adding to our faith fortitude, to fortitude knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control patience, to patience piety, to piety kindness, to kindness divine love, and the sum total being a bountiful fruition of the Spirit, all of which goes a long way in enhancing an abundant interest into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior. Now, beloved brothers and sisters, our Master stated the keynote, the criteria respecting our qualification to be a part of God's mystery of the ages. For instance, John's Gospel, our Master speaks right to the point, chapter 14, in verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. Indeed so, the eyes of our spiritual understanding being enlightened concerning the mystery of the ages, we are enabled thereby to appreciate and apply ourselves wholeheartedly to all that is involved in running for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. All coming into the picture of our life so that in due time we may enter into the complete finished grace respecting the glory of God's inheritance in the saints. And most graciously, God Almighty of eternity, whom we address Abba, Father, has revealed unto us the intricacies of the high calling, the great mystery of the ages, the high calling in Christ Jesus, a most amazing and wonderful calling, especially by virtue of its purpose, a purpose which, in effect, ultimately results in the sanctification of the present gospel, becoming associate kings and priests of King Jesus, and thus to reign with him for the blessing of all the families of the earth, with peace, with comfort, with goodwill, man to man, with everlasting life, in its fullness, vigor, and likeness of Adam before he transgressed. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we are mindful that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. That in this relationship we have the privilege to endure with the captain of our salvation. Hence, in the fellowship of Christ, we have a major opportunity to live apart from the spirit of the world, even though we are in the world and required to deal with it from day to day. And so being faithful to all commitments involved constitutes a witness that we have been with Jesus and have learned of his ways, and that the revealment of God's mystery of the ages has not been in vain.
Thank you, Brother Yike. God's mystery of the ages, now made known unto we who love his appearing.